Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's flip this completely. In the same week, They're Stuck stuff came out. Retired FBI agent Maureen O'Connell goes on Megyn Kelly's show and says her sources say they're closing in on Porch Guy, the masked man on Nancy's doorbell camera. And she put a 75% assuredness. It's her own conjecture. Everybody is certainly entitled to their own conjecture. But that's what she said, according to her sources. And then her conjecture said she feels it's about 75%. That is accurate when pressed by Megyn. Soon as they ID him, she says, the floodgates open. So you got two former FBI agents, same case, same week, telling you opposite things. We have two FBI agents, same case, same week. And let's see if we're going to hear opposite things here. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, and Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, to help us break it down. All right, confidence at 75%. You're both retired FBI special agents. She says she has some sources in there telling her that they're getting this close. What are the odds that that's accurate?
A couple of things. I couldn't understand what's at 75%. Is it 75% that they're getting closer to making an arrest?
I think her confidence level that they're 70, that they're going down a path that they're closing in on Porch Guy. She's about 75% sure, if I'm understanding her conjecture correctly, that they're getting close to closing in on Porch Guy.
So her assurity is 75%, not the, okay.
I don't think that's from the FBI. That's her own interpretation of her source.
I'm just going to be honest, and I have nothing against this woman.
Sure.
Never met her. Don't know anything about her, except former FBI came in around my similar time frame. I was confused with that 75%, so that bothered me. Mm-hmm. And then secondarily to that, and again, this is, again, with all due respect to her, I don't understand any FBI agent. I understand media because that's their job to find sources. I don't understand any FBI agent or any law enforcement person, retired or not retired, coming in and talking about sources. We all have sources. We all have people telling us things. And I never, just that's my personal mantra. I'm not going to talk about what somebody says about a case. Never. I keep it tight. And I don't. So I was just surprised. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I was surprised.
Sure.
And I was confused. And it doesn't match up with the other reporting, but that doesn't mean it's not accurate. I was just confused. And I was really surprised.
I'm so glad you said that, Jen, because first of all, I only put averages of percentages when I do research off of past cases. Like every time I say probabilities, it's always based on past research, not on conjecture or theories or anything else, you know, right now. And I'm so glad you also said that, Jen, because here I am sitting, you know, I'm retired FBI. This person's got sources. What am I doing wrong in my post-bureau career that I don't have sources that can tell me this shit? Because I got no idea who would have told me this stuff. Because like you said, no one talks like that. And here's the other thing too. You don't put your former colleagues, friends, and associates in that kind of compromising position to do that. It's really, really bad because we do internal leak investigations all the time. I was in units that did that. And the last thing in the world you want to do, because a bureau takes that extremely seriously. If you were ever caught giving information about an investigation to someone outside, I don't care if you're a retired bureau or not, you are screwing yourself pretty significantly. So first of all, to have someone willing to do that is one thing. And to be the type of person to ask for that information is another thing. So I'm in the world of maybe on that one, because I don't know where she came up with that number either.
I don't know. I mean, I get I get making a good headline, but at the end of the day, you know, people are interpreting these things, and you don't want to. I don't want to lead people down a wrong path or something. And I don't know Maureen either, so I'm in no way trying to say anything negative about her. I mean, it's a conjecture. Sometimes I think when you're live, maybe comes across, you know, as fact, or people absorb something as fact because it comes from someone with a history or a title, and then boom, oh, it must be true, or people misinterpret it as something that it's not. I don't know. Maybe that's what's going on there.
So I have a theory on that too. We've had this, and Jen, I'd be curious if you've had this too. Is where when you talk to friends and former colleagues, or even current colleagues that say they know someone or something, you'll get a temperature gauge on how they're feeling about a case, and that's typically what people are saying. Oh man, I got a good feeling about this one. And so she might be having a good feeling about it from talking to someone, and her good feelings from her past reps and past experience generally come in at that 3/4 glass half full kind of way, which gives a 75%. So my conjecture on that is most likely she was getting a temperature gauge from people she's talking to, not facts, data, and details of investigation, but she's interpreting that temperature gauge.
So I never ever talk about sources, but I'm going to give the general 100%. Context is in some situations, since I've been retired, I will reach out to the case agents and give them information that I found.
Oh yeah, that way, yes.
And then that case agent, in some instances, like I can think of one specifically, I said, I'm really concerned about this. I actually, in one case, I sent a video that I didn't think the Bureau had. Mm-hmm. And the supervisor, I sent it to him and he said, yeah, it looks bad. That's not who we think it is. I never at that time talked about it, released any of that, nothing. I'm doing it now. So generally, I mean, I've covered hundreds of cases. Nobody has any idea what I'm talking about. But those are the types of things. The thing I would never do after that conversation is get on air and say, my source says this isn't the right person. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't even occur to me. And then there, in that case and in other cases, there have been, you know, like I'll say, how are things going? Well, you know, you never ask specific questions. It's an unwritten rule. I'm so glad Robin said that too. Because when I was in the Bureau and my colleagues that brought me up in the Bureau retired, and many of them became PIs. And the last thing, even though you still go out with them, you still hang with them, you go to family things, the last thing they would ever do was corner me and say, hey, can you run this? Or, hey, what about this? It's an absolute unwritten rule. You're not trying to develop sources in that situation. So I was really, really taken aback.
It's the quickest way to ruin every single relationship you've ever had. And then, because you want to talk about destroying your personal brand, do that, because you don't think that's going to start resonating around how so-and-so on the outside talking to, that is a media's, you know, spokesperson or a contributor called me and they pressed me for information. That's going to spread like wildfire internally. You just totally tainted yourself about anyone ever want to talk to you again. It's so toxic. That's why you got, like Jen said, you know, you're going to have contacts, friends, associates. I mean, I still have some, and you know, which have reached out and thanked me for certain things I've said on air. Yeah. You know, thank me for things I've said on air. And I was like, well, I'm glad it was helpful. And if I can be a resource, great. With a complete understanding, it would never, ever leak beyond my lips to anyone else. You know, I tell my wife, I really felt good. I did a little something here. That's as far as anything goes, because we take our sources and we take our, not even sources, we take our relationships we have with people, because that's the only thing the FBI really relies on to do things in actuality, is our relationships we can develop with people that they can trust us with whatever they tell us to not do them wrong or do them sides or harm them in any way. And so, yeah, I'm sorry, I get on the soapbox of that stuff.
Very, very different FBI than the one that you guys were in. It's like the whole mindset different with the next generation that's coming up here in terms of revealing information and sources and being part of the media landscape? I mean, is it really, I mean, obviously not that the rules have changed, but have people changed? And what the principles they have that they operate by, and of leaking things and not leaking things, are we in a place where it's become, you know, almost like a cancer to a certain extent, where so many people are doing this, so many people are affected in doing these sort of things, that it's become more of a norm and less of an oddball thing where things are leaking out? Obviously, there's always been leaks, but I guess, is the atmosphere, whatever has changed? I'm not trying to go down a political road here, but has the atmosphere changed to such an extent that this is just, it's a whole, you got like the minor league playing in the major leagues, and a lot of them are not up to par yet where they should be in terms of operations and what stays within the Bureau and what gets out?
You know, I don't know. I just think everybody individually has to make their own decisions on that sort of thing. Like I said, I mean, that's just how I view things. I was just surprised. Let's just leave it at that.
I think agents are still agents, doing exactly what they've always done, regardless of directors. I mean, I know, Jen, you've been through a lot of different directors. So as I came under Louis Free, and then the whole slew from there. And people keep doing the same thing every day. From the people I've known and still know on the inside right now, it's tighter. I think it's tighter on leaks now than it's ever been, because people are afraid to talk. I mean, there's a lot of internal angst about even, I mean, there's, again, very, very small sample size I have, but there's a little more fear about chatting too much right now than there's been before, at least from my small optic.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. That's why I was just curious to get your guys' perspective on it. One more thing here. Let's talk about what we were talking about at the top of this segment. TMZ, Harvey Levin, saying that he talked to the FBI, and they've reiterated in so many words, we don't need your money, because Harvey and TMZ were saying, we'll tickle the wire if you guys won't. We'll put some money in there. And then TMZ calling them back very quickly saying, don't, we're good, we're getting close, in so many words. Why would they say that to Harvey Levin? Why would they tell that to Harvey Levin? Is that somebody with very loose lips? Is that Harvey interpreting things a certain way and releasing it the way Harvey releases things? I'm not trying to say anything negative about him. I'm just trying to understand why they would even tell him that, other than just, no, don't do that.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, the Bureau historically has kept everything tight to the vest, especially when it comes to media. We were all terrified. You cannot talk to the media. I've talked about the Red Shoe Award for putting your foot in your mouth if you even made any comment to the media, like you're on scene and they're crawling and then somebody says something and then you just offhand comment, Red Shoe Award on your desk. So, you know, that's the Bureau I grew up in. It was always weird when I got into the media, because I remember going on, I was doing the Gabby Petito stuff with Brian, and he would ask me questions and I'd say, yes. He'd ask me another question, I'd say, no. And then I remember Marnie Hughes saying, can you expand on some of those? Because, and Robin, I want to know if this is your, at first it seemed so weird to even talk, even to express, And then you realize it's okay to analyze. It's okay to talk from your experience. It's okay to look at what we're looking at, as long as you don't release anything you know from within, right? From within, anything you're not supposed to. So anyway, just a few thoughts on that.
Yeah, it took brain adjusting. There's no doubt, you know, because you are in fear of sharing. You really are, because you don't know the repercussions of it, and you don't know how it's going to be misinterpreted, you know, because the intent is always good, but you don't know if there's going to be incongruency between what actually happens when the words come out. And so it's better just to say nothing. And that's why you keep it really close to the vest, because there we take leaks. We used to be in the FBI. We take leaks, whether intentional or unintentional, extremely seriously. I mean, the OPR process, the Office of Professional Responsibility process inside the FBI is brutal. It's horrendous. It's horrible. And you avoid it at all costs. And so how do you avoid it? Shut up. That's what we, you just don't.
It's a no-brainer. And the last thing you want to do, which happened to a lot of people in my career, I saw it. The U.S. Attorney's Office had it, the Brady Giglio box. And this is the problem with that. They got put off of criminal matters and put into other matters where they would never have to testify, where they're more hidden, you know, doing other things, because their ability to either be believed or they said something that was misunderstood, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Robin, I don't know how many you saw in your career. I probably, because I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office so much. I mean, the U.S. Attorney's Office would be like, and I officed there for about 2 years, not even at the Bureau. I officed in the U.S. Attorney's Office. They would not even deal with some agents. And then the agency has to.
And then what they'll do is, I'm sorry, you're seeing how the sausage is made behind us. And then if you're considered ineffective as an agent because of that, they can take away a part of your salary, the availability pay, because if you can't be an active agent, then why are we giving you all the pay for this? So, poof, I mean, you'll take a, what is it, 30%, 25% hit for doing stuff like that. And that's the, so it's like, you might as well quit at that point. I mean, it's just, it's bad. That's why it's very rare.
A lot of coordinators.
coordinator. You become a coordinator. You're right.
But nevertheless, I mean, that's just, and so anyway.
One more quick one before we wrap up, and I'm not going to put you on the Megyn Kelly spot like she did to Maureen, where it's like, tell me the percentage you think. I'm not trying to knock Megyn, but we're not going to go outside, not according to the sausage factory, just according to you, according to just your own gut, based on everything that you've been seeing. Jen, not a percentage. Where do you think we're leaning here? Are we leaning closer to getting and closing in on this person, or is it still a big mystery to everybody? What's your conjecture?
I mean, I believe that they just have a longer time to go down this road. If Maureen ends up being right and next week there's an arrest, all I have to say is she had a great source. If this ends up going another several weeks or a month, then we'll know it wasn't a very good source. I'm just saying at the 6 month mark, I'm looking for something to be moving. So I think they're making it down these roads, and they're just long roads. And I think the best road right now, likely the best road is those are the pictures, but they're the that's the road that is there is out of their control.
Sure.
The road that's in their control are these notes.
Robin, thoughts?
Yes. So I'm very glass half full on this right now, and here's why. Maureen, you know, 75% is what she's said. You know, regardless, I know we had a long discussion, you know, about how that came about, which is regardless, because if she has a good feeling about this, it comes from somewhere, whether it's her own thoughts and opinions or sources, it doesn't matter. She has a good feeling. And when you combine that with a lot of noise that we have right now, noise means attention. Attention means more potential leads. And time is now on our side with solving this. It's not on, unfortunately, Nancy's side, but so I'm still half full on this.
All right. That's, I think we'll wrap it up right there. Another week where we've, of course, solved another mystery. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in and give us your two cents as well. Jennifer Coffendaffer, Break the Case. Go check it out. Her podcast, wherever you get podcasts, and on YouTube. Go press subscribe and watch her in-depth coverage every single day on this. If you want to dive in far deeper, even than what you get here, Jen's got it on Break the Case. So go check that out. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. Go check this out. Leave a review on Amazon, also available on audiobook. Enjoy some great summer reading, if you will. All right, until next time, for Jen, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.